live from Edinburgh, Radio Napier News.
Good afternoon, I'm Matt Lawless at EN4 News and these are the headlines. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States after a historic election. This was expected, according to the polls, to be a good night for Hillary Clinton. Instead, Trump won emphatically. Police are reporting there has been some loss of life and dozens have been injured after a tram overturned in South London. And women across the country plan to walk out of work early in protest against the gender pay gap. Donald Trump stormed to a shock victory in the US election last night. During his victory speech in New York, Donald Trump insisted he would govern for all Americans.
Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
Reactions of world leaders are starting to come in, with the Prime Minister Theresa May saying she would like to congratulate Donald Trump on being elected the next President of the United States following a hard-fought campaign. She went on to say that Britain and the United States have an enduring and special relationship based on the values of freedom, democracy and enterprise. I look forward to working with President-elect Donald Trump, building on these ties to ensure the security and prosperity of our nations in the years ahead. Meanwhile, Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon said, "While this is not the outcome that I hoped for, it is the verdict of the American people and we must respect it. I congratulate President-elect Trump on winning the election. We value our relationship with the United States and its people. The ties that bind Scotland and the US of family, culture and business are deep and long-standing and they will always endure." Elsewhere, Russia has to defend itself amid claims that they may have interfered with the US election. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov has said that suggestions Russia interfered with the US presidential election are absurd and a renewed dialogue is needed between Washington and Moscow. Financial markets have reacted to last night's presidential elections, and Victoria Sherbakova has more on the global stock markets.
Financial markets are recovering after last night's presidential elections that shook the stock markets around the globe. London's stock market has opened at 2% down this morning, meaning the UK stock market has lost £37 billion in value just overnight. Japanese and European markets were the first ones affected this morning, losing 5 and 3% in value respectively. The pound currently stands by a cent against the US dollar, but down against the euro. Charlotte Harrington from investment firm Fidelity International says that Mr. Trump's speech was less extreme than expected this morning.
We did see broad risk sell-off about 1 o'clock this morning, UK time, and we have seen some bounce back, probably because the speech that Trump made wasn't quite as extreme as maybe people were expecting.
Financial journalist Ian Fraser draws comparisons between the reaction of financial markets after Brexit and this presidential election.
To some extent, you know, one of the overall views on this is that, you know, it's a bit like Brexit. This doesn't take place immediately. Donald Trump will not technically become the United States president till 20th of January. So, you know, there's a lot of sentiment in the market. And, you know, traders are like sheep. They often take their cues from, you know, one particularly influential forecast or leader. And so, you know, you get a kind of sheep-like effect in the markets. The most dramatic things I think we saw were the Mexican peso collapsing by 13% overnight once it was clear that Trump had won the US election. And I think it was clear from about 2 or 3 in the morning onwards that, you know, he definitely had won this election. And that was an all-time low against the US dollar. So clearly Mexico, you know, people holding pesos and investors in Mexico don't believe Trump's going to be a good news for Mexico, especially if he goes ahead and builds the wall.
He also pointed out that surprisingly, pharmaceutical companies were those who benefited most in this financial roller coaster.
Another thing is that pharmaceutical stocks have climbed quite high today, this morning on the news of Trump's victory, because under Clinton, pharma companies would have faced much more serious price controls from government, and they won't face this under Donald Trump. So that's interesting. The pharmaceutical stocks have been one of the main gainers.
Victoria Sherbakova there on the global stock markets. Now, Europe woke up to the political surprise of the decade this morning. Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States, contradicting most of the polls that had been released during one of the toughest campaigns the US has seen. Channel 4 News editor and former Washington correspondent Emily Wilson explains the result as a portrayal of the way American society feels about modern politics.
People described it as a movement to us, and it was a movement, a populist movement of people who felt that he represented something that hadn't been represented in American politics before.
Trump's victory is the unsuspected ending of the plot where Hillary Clinton had to be the hero. But what will this mean to Europe and to the rest of the world? Emily Wilson again.
I think that these have very strong consequences for us in Europe and for the whole world.
Despite Trump's hints during the campaign, Professor John Peterson from Edinburgh University finds it hard to predict the future American foreign policy at this stage.
Very hard to know exactly what a Trump foreign policy would look like. Besides a very sort of extreme position on immigration and relations with Mexico and a limiting of immigration into the United States on the part of Muslims.
On the other hand, Pera Frank, a professor from Spain and an expert on America's presidential speeches, foresees a more isolationist US.
If he was going to do what he said during the campaign, then yes, we'll be seeing changes in the American foreign policy. We'll see a very inward-looking US, breaking the bonds they have with Europe and the rest of the world, focusing only on their internal economy and without financing any external corporation or taking part in international diplomacy.
But what does Mr. Trump's victory mean for Europe in terms of trade? Europe could suffer if Trump's new administration implements what the until now presidential candidate has promised during the campaign. Danish correspondent in Brussels, Tore Keller, explains.
Some people are afraid that he might cut exports and that he is very unlikely to strike a deal on free trade with Europe, which might have some severe consequences for the European economy and the financial markets as well, as we've already seen this morning.
Mr. Keller argues that the EU hopes Trump will change his behaviour.
Well, right now they're hoping that Donald Trump is not Donald Trump. They're hoping that there's another man inside of him who will appear now that he's elected and who will say that he didn't mean all the things that he said during the campaign.
But what about Brexit? Maybe Britain could benefit, as Donald Trump in the last few weeks showed Brexit to be an example of a real, well-run campaign. Emily Wilson reports again.
He will frame the relationship with Britain as a kind of partnership against outside control or interference.
And Professor Frank sees the American election result as one more example of how globalisation is affecting society.
We confirm that globalisation, the fact that the world has become smaller and we all live in a global community, has made mistrust between countries grow.
And Pera Frank there on the European concerns of a Trump presidency. And now, Cameron Bark with today's national news.
Police have confirmed that there has been a loss of life and dozens of people have been injured after a tram overturned in London this morning. The incident is said to have happened shortly after 6 a.m. in the Croydon area of the city, but British Transport Police have stressed that they are unable to release numbers at this stage.
It is too early for us to confirm numbers, but we are working hard to assess the ongoing incident and are continuing to focus on our recovery efforts.
The cause of the crash remains unclear, but it is believed that over 70 people are currently being treated at a number of hospitals in the surrounding area. In other news, Sainsbury's has posted a 10% fall in half-year profits as it faces surging costs. The supermarket chain, which also owns Argos, made £277 million before tax in the 6 months to September the 24th, down from £308 million a year earlier. The group says it will continue to cut prices for shoppers, but highlighted an uncertain impact on prices due to the plunging pound. This news comes the day after Marks & Spencer's reported falling sales and profits in the 6 months to the end of September. And coal-fired power stations will be phased out by 2025, with funding put towards fueling 1 million homes from renewables. The government measures follow a consultation which has found cutting it out will save 124 million tonnes of carbon dioxide between 2016 and 2030. Ministers have also confirmed £730 million will be spent annually on renewable electricity projects this Parliament.
Cameron and Bach reporting. And now back to our main story. Andrew Fleming had a look into other factors which led to Trump's victory.
As with many people across the globe today, we also had many unanswered questions as to how Trump managed such a shock victory despite months of polling which favoured Mrs. Clinton. We spoke to Craig Howie, a Washington-based journalist, and he explained to us, first of all, why the polls turned out to be so inaccurate.
Well, the polling, as you'll know from Brexit, is that the polling industry is undergoing somewhat of a minor crisis right now. And I suspect there's going to be a lot more uncertainty in the polling industry going forward. But as ever, you have differences in how polls are conducted these days. You've got less of a reliance on landline polls, obviously, with millennials coming forward. You as voters voting for the first time, do not know in many instances what a landline actually is.
When asked what, in his opinion, went wrong for Clinton, considering she was the clear favourite up until last night, Howie had this to say.
It depends who you speak to. If she was clear favourite, I mean, the bookies, the markets, etc., can be fairly unreliable indicators, as Brexit showed. But where it went wrong for her, obviously you had the FBI, James Comey, who delivered a bit of an October surprise, or November surprise, right on the cusp there. But it seems that lots of Clinton's problems were structural in the way she ran her campaign, in the way she's viewed by what proved to be a majority of the electorate.
Many people saw Trump's political campaign as unconventional, travelling to states such as Wisconsin and Michigan, which were said to be out of reach, prioritising rallies rather than door-knocking, and spending substantially less in comparison to the Democratic campaign. However, his approach proved to be successful, and the result will go down as one of the most astonishing victories in American political history.
Thanks, Andrew. And now, Adam Sturrock hit the streets of Edinburgh to gauge the capital's reaction to the US election.
Trump's election result is still only a few hours old, but for some students in Morningside, they seem to have already accepted this new reality and moved on. We asked the public what they thought of the two candidates.
Well, I don't really know that much about it, but I didn't really want either of them to win.
No, not really. They're both as bad as each other, to be honest.
Probably Hillary Clinton, yeah.
Not particularly. Either of them aren't very good in my eyes.
President-elect Donald Trump wasn't expected to win going into the race due to his divisive stances on immigration, for example. And we wanted to know what they thought of the future 45th president.
It's pretty mental, isn't it, that he's actually won. But I mean, it's pretty bad on Hillary, like, letting Trump being so bad that Trump's actually won.
Outrageous, absolutely outrageous. I don't think people were taking into consideration what it would mean for the next 4 years. And I don't think it's going to turn out that well.
I think it'll have a big impact on everywhere. It just depends what decisions he decides to make.
I guess just all the best to America, because they're going to need it.
And now here's the daily sports update from Kieran Scott.
Rangers striker Kenny Miller says there's no reason his country can't cause an upset against England on Friday. Scotland go to Wembley for a World Cup qualifier under pressure after defeat by Slovakia and a draw against Lithuania. Miller tells Sky Sports News that his old teammates should embrace being outsiders.
You're going into a game like this, you're definitely going into it as underdogs. One, you're away from home. Two, you're playing against a team that has got a lovely player that is probably superior to you. But again, that's never been an issue for us.
Former Scotland captain Paul Ambert thinks Scotland will cope against England. While Gordon Strachan faces scrutiny for his performance as manager during the qualification campaign, Lambert says that the current manager will be well equipped for the occasion.
When you're an underdog and you go to a game, you can go and play that little bit more relaxed, take the pressure off you, and you tend to heap the pressure on the opposition team. And you tend to find when that happens, you tend to pick up a result. Gordon will know, he's an experienced manager, good manager.
England captain Wayne Rooney says this Friday's game has added significance. As well as playing rivals Scotland in a World Cup qualifier, the Wembley match is also on Armistice Day. Rooney tells Sky Sports News that no one needs to build up the tie for the squad.
It means a lot to play for England, and to play against Scotland it's a massive game for both countries in terms of importance for the group or the history of the fixture. So we both want to win, so we'll be ready for the game.
Meanwhile, England and Scotland women will face each other at the Euro 2017. They've been drawn in Group D and meet in its opening game next July in the Netherlands. Spain and the tournament's lowest-ranked side, Portugal, complete the group.
And finally, what will Donald Trump's America look like once the dust settles on the election fever? Robbie Thompson casts an all-seeing eye over the aftermath as we go gathering feedback from our locals to see if they believe that America really will be made great again.
The year 2000. The tail end of Bill Clinton's presidential reign. The world getting to grips with Windows and The Simpsons making a seemingly outrageous mock prediction on the impending presidency of Donald Trump.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump.
Fast forward 16 years into the millennial melee, and Matt Groening's apocalyptic foresight has been sealed, as Trump himself has pipped Hillary Clinton to the White House hot seat.
Every single American will have the opportunity to realize his or her fullest potential. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer.
As Trump delivered his speech, he displayed near surprise at his victory. It is unclear, beyond the building of the wall and the tightening of immigration laws and a more relaxed approach to gun control, what the president-elect's America will actually look like. Back here in Scotland, however, people stayed up to the early hours of the morning to await the result. Many people filled up a popular Edinburgh pub until 5 a.m, Americans and locals alike, with support wholly focused on Clinton. And as the night began to unfold, the situation looked bleak, and the packed-out bar started to become despondent as tiredness and worry set in.
And it's been shaped, especially from news outlets, that they need to be angry towards the wrong people, to be honest with you. I mean, really, it's the government that are screwing them, and particularly more conservative aspects that are in control and aren't really catering to their needs, but have managed to spin it in such a way that it seems that they are.
We have fascist demagogue running against probably the most corrupt politician in US history. We have a disenfranchised middle class who are more gradually diminishing in America.
I went back to the States over the summer, and it was overwhelming how much support he had. And I think also after watching Brexit happen here, and like the way that no one thought it was going to happen and the way that the polls went and everything, there's so many parallels between the two that I thought for sure it was just the same, it was going to be the same thing that happened.
As Donald Trump has proclaimed that the country should come together during these desperate times in American history, the female demographic appears increasingly wary after a series of misogynistic quotes during the campaign trail of Trump.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
It's an uncertain time, not just for American politics, but for the rest of the world, as the Trump administration begins its tenure. More concerns were raised in regard to the failure of American politicians to address key social issues and hinted that Trump's victory demonstrated a feeling of disaffection.
I think it's just going to be a nightmare. I think it's going to be the nightmare that we're all expecting. I think that a lot of people, in the same way that many people voted for Brexit, perhaps not even necessarily because they were against immigration, but just to express dissatisfaction with the state of mainstream politics and the failure of the mainstream left to address problems like unemployment, lack of access to housing, wage repression. It's just, I feel like it's a protest vote.
And that's all from us for now. You can catch up with all the stories reported on today on Twitter at EN4News2016 and at EN4News.com.
This is Radio Napier.